Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig, it's 9 o'clock and I'm here with one of my favorite magicians, a legend in magic, the one and only Etienne Pradier. Hey Etienne, how are you? Thank you so much.
Oh, my good friend Craig, how are you? Nice to see you, man.
I'm all the better for seeing you again. It's good that you look well. Are you good?
Look, I'm here. I'm like in a box, but I love it. So the moment is all good. I guess it's been some bitter days, but you know, I'm not the guy who complains. So I'm going to go through your question and be as positive as I can, as I normally be.
Well, that's great. And you are a really positive guy. And one thing that we'll get into later on is you're one of the magicians in the country that has taken advantage of the situation we've put ourselves into at the moment, you know, with COVID and the pandemic. You've really kind of owned it, and you haven't sat down and done nothing, but you've actually, you know, you've been proactive, and what you've accomplished is amazing. And I do want to get into that in a bit.
Yeah.
But first of all, for anybody who's been living under a rock for the last couple of decades, let's talk about Etienne Pradier. And let's talk about your origin story. How did you get into magic? Because correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't your typical, I got magic set when I was 3 years old, was it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty much a simple, a little bit of my background. I'm born in a place called Saint-Us in France. If you see France, it's right underneath Lyon. It's called the Department of La Drôme. So my parents are farmers originally, and they're still okay at the moment. But this is really like I used to live in a farm, so a house and a farm there. So that's where my background was. I decided to go to Paris. And so at that point, also, that's quite important. I will tell you when this all started, because I made a couple of things, two very essential moments in my life who started me magic. The first one was a friend of my dad. And you know, when you see a tree, Greg, and you go, wow. But I was like a kid, right? Probably 10 years old. And I still remember. I could picture it now. I could see the guy here. It has exactly the same trick, the same vision. And it was a trick with his hand and making a match moving from one hand to another like that. You know, like I think he must have all it on his zip. At this time, I had no idea. But I kind of work it out, you know. And that vision was like, wow, what's a, you know. And another thing he did is the coins under the collar. You know, you drop the coins and you do that. And that become like absolutely amazing because I had no idea. And I really thought it was inside it. So I think these two moments was really like the moment I thought, wow. But I didn't think much about it. You know, when you're kids, you take it, you sink in, and you think, oh, I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, so I move on, and I went to Paris, become a fashion designer. That's what I wanted to be. So I went to a school. I had my diploma as a fashion designer, a pattern cutter, right? And I'd done that for about 8 years. But in the same time, I started to do magic as a hobby, because I thought it was kind of nice what a guy was doing, you know. And another guy as well, when I was working in Lyon before I went to Paris very quickly, a guy did this move. And for the magician, is this move I could actually show you. He went like that and I said, have a look. Yeah, you go like that and you go there, right? So Basically, he went here, so like that, and place on top. But when he did it, he flashed, like I probably just done, right? So he take the card like that, and instead to do it like that, very clearly, right? He just flash it a little bit here, you know? Eh? So I saw that, and he didn't want to tell me. So about a week I've been practicing, and I remember in my room, I was practicing like very like movement like that, and I show it to him, and he went, oh, that's good. So that's basically why I started learning some sleight of hand. And when I moved to Paris doing my fashion for about 7-8 years, I went to a magic shop at the time near Piccadilly, Pigalle. And it was a famous magic shop run by Proust and at the time. And a very famous story, and it's very anecdotic. I was in this shop, and it was one of the top magicians called, I will have to remember his name, but Majax, Gérard Majax, very famous French magician, is equivalent of Paul Daniels in England, right? So he was in his shop. I was there. I knew him because he was doing a famous TV show in France called Y'a un truc, I remember. But he was another guy here. And I was with my girlfriend at the time who became my wife, Claire. And the guy, the owner, come to see me. He said, sir, I was looking for some stuff. And he said, we can't let you out, but we have to close the door because this guy want to show this new trick when you sell it. So I said, no problem. I stay if you don't mind. So they closed the door. It was Germain Jacques, this guy I didn't know. And my wife turned around and said, do you know that guy? I said, no, no idea. He had the long hair. And he said, well, this is David Copperfield. So I said, really? And I said, I had no idea. So I said, imagine the knowledge I had at the time of magic. I didn't know who was David Copperfield. He says, he's very famous in the state. I just literally started magic by buying the books and things like that. So I had no background. And he just showed him the levitation, he sold that levitation to David Copperfield. And after that, I don't know what happened. But I start to connect with the Jeremiah Jacques, another guy is called Tamak. And I start to have lesson with them. So they gave me a lesson. And Duvivier, Dominique Duvivier as well. So I met all these people. And Dominique Duvivier in the Double Fond is a famous place in Paris. And he used to give me some lesson. I remember it was like 100, probably 100 francs or 500. So it's probably 50 quid at the time. And it was really expensive. I mean, like, wow, for 1 hour, I have to pay 50 pounds. But I done it, and I just learned a lot, right? So that was my experience in magic in Paris. So it was a bit of mix and match, and learned some few tricks. Somebody I met through a club, and he said, "You want to see a lecture?" So the first lecture I saw was Paul Harris with a curly hair, with a big mustache, and a scarf. That was my first lecture, and I remember the Aces tricks he did, and some crazy stuff, and I was like, wow, that's different magic than this kind of crap, you know. I thought, wow, that's good. And the next one I saw is Gary Kurt. So it was one of the two best lectures I've ever seen since then, you know. And so that was my experience in Paris. And from then on, I started to do a bit of magic when I was working in fashion, but magic really absorbed me. So I was concentrated on my job, but magic was really taking a lot of part of me, you know. So I was practicing it. I remember going to the toilet and do some move and come back. And, where are you? I'm here, you know, and put the cards back in my pocket. And so I knew I had the bug inside me, but I didn't know what I had to do as a professional until I came to England. So that's the next step. I moved to England to learn English originally. As you can see, it hasn't much improved since. I've been 35 years been here.
Did you move to England to do magic?
No, like, not at all. I moved to England to basically start. My girlfriend was English at the time. I should have mentioned that. And so I said, I'm going to go and live have a year or two in England to see things developing. And I moved to Eastbourne. So I went to Eastbourne and I started to do fashion in Eastbourne. It was great. A guy we was doing fashion design together. I produced a collection and things like that. So I spent like a couple of years working there as a fashion designer in Eastbourne. But I decided when magic is something I really wanted to do more and more. And when I came back to Canterbury, because she was living in Canterbury, so I moved to Canterbury, and suddenly I started working on the roulette wheels, you know, the roulette wheels for casino, a friend of mine. So I worked for a while there, I think for about 5 years with this guy. But I was at that time where I'm starting to do some gigs. An agent called Ian Clark and Stamen gave me the first job in England, and Paul Gordon from England as well used to give me some job. And one of the first jobs I done in London was in a juggler. So I went there and I did the job as a closer, but I didn't know what it was. I was like, what the hell's going on? And I did all these things. It was great. But I started to get some gig. But suddenly this agent said, do you want to do some cruise and some work on a ship? I said, yeah, I don't mind. So it was a nightmare, man. It was a kid's show for Dover to Calais. Six round trips, like six round, yeah. A three round trip basically. And I had to do a show for the kids, but Dover Calais it was in the summertime, but sometimes was really, really rough. I mean, you're talking like the sea was sick as fuck, you know. You could cut that, yeah.
Oh no, it's fine, you can swear on this channel.
So basically I done that for for 3 months. I was like, wow, it was great. But it was a really hard job because you had to normally do the kids' magic on the rough sea and things like that. But I learned a lot, right? And after that, I thought, that's great. But I moved to London, and in London, I started to work in Emily's, selling some tricks, because I thought the best lesson to learn magic, and I will pass the advice for you guys if you start, one thing, if you could sell tricks in a table, and you have the same different people to come and see you, and you do the same trick, same again and again and again, in the end, you'll know by heart, you will get bored of it, but you will gain by knowing about connecting to people. And I think for me, my magic is all about connecting, understanding people, and really having a good time with them. So do magic for them rather for you. And that's the key. I learned that from a young age when I started magic, is performing for people to get them react, to get them enjoy it. So for me, I'm just, you know, it's a different mentality about doing things. And I will talk a little bit more about when I see people doing magic on Zoom. And that's another thing I want to talk about, because I see a lot of things going wrong on Zoom at the moment, or people do magic for themselves and it's totally wrong. So anyways, I go backtrack on, I went on a shop, I was doing that. I also work on Camden and Covent Garden, I understand. And I was selling every day magic all day long, and I learned. And at one point, when my agent phoned me up, he said, oh, can you still do magic? I said, yeah, I do. He said, do you want a job in Singapore? I said, well, what is it? This is a stage show. You have to do like 10 minutes on stage, and maybe a bit of close-up if you want, or maybe a bit of kid show. I said, yeah, I'll do it. Now, it's quite interesting here, because it was a contract for 6 months, right? And I always remember, because I was a bit scared. I said, stage show, I have never done stage in my life, right? I mean, I knew a few things, but I never done stage. And I was talking to, I can't remember, the magician of the time, David Redfern, I think it was, or somebody else. And he said to me, he said, are you worried to go there? I said, yeah, I've never done stage. He said, look, take that for me. Get worried when you get there. Don't get worried. He said, yeah, I'll do it. And when you get there, that's the time you get worried. Just go there. It's good money. It's good fun. You're going to be on a cruise for 6 months. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So I phoned the agent. I said, I'm up. What's the money? And the money was great. Like every week you're getting like maybe a grand, you know, and you're on a ship, you're doing nothing but just magic. So I got there. And this is quite a funny anecdote there, because at one point I'm arriving on Singapore, I'm going, and then I'm like jet lag. I go on stage. So remember, Greg, I had no experience on stage. I had no idea what I'm going to do, right? And so I said, I'll work it out tomorrow, right? And the guy said, okay, here's your cabin. You could sleep here. I said, wow, great, man. I'm on the ship, man. You know, like I'm going to chill out and a big cigar, you know? And he said, you're going to do your show tomorrow. You could practice with a guy. You're going to meet everybody. I said, okay, it's great. And he come back an hour later, knock on my door. I was half asleep and said, oh, by the way, Etienne, all the bosses are here. All the Chinese bosses are on the boat. They want you to demo tonight. You have to do. They're all coming to see the new act, the new French guy, magician. They're all excited. I said, oh, fuck's sake, man. So I had no idea what to do. So I remember the act I did, and thanks David Williamson, because David Williamson is who become a friend later on, but at the time he was kind of my generation, the big hero in magic, and who didn't do the ring and rope from David Williamson and all these things. So ring and rope, cigarette through court, one card, three card inside the 52 card inside the pocket. And I think that was about it, right? So I just done these 3-4 tricks very quickly, very short. I was no stress, because I don't think I had never really stressed on as a performer, but a little bit, I had no idea what to do. But the presence was there. I was like, make people laugh. And so the guy came to see me and said, oh, they loved it, but a little bit short. We work out on the time, but they want to see you. So the big manager come, a big Chinese. I always remember, because they come up and they said, ah, oh, Chang Kang. I can't translate because I don't speak Chinese. And they give me an envelope, and in here it was $800. And another one come and give me $500. So suddenly I got like a ton of tips by doing like, for me, a bit of a shit show. But so that was starting, and I thought, well, I think it's some money to make there in magic, you know? And so for about 6 months, I was doing 10 minutes on stage, maybe 5 minutes on close-up. I put a close-up show, doing a bit of kid show sometime in the afternoon. And I was going from Malaysia, Indonesia, Hong Kong, and Singapore and all that. So first 6 months, I was like, man, that was a great time, you know? So, and I came back and I done some little cruise. But the problem with cruise, I found it very quickly. When you come back, you have no contact. You lose all your contact. And that's the thing. And I didn't really like that. So when I arrived to England and I started to hit the corporate market and weddings, because I believe I was probably the first one who did wedding fairs, because a friend of mine was, so that's why I come back to England. And he said, I'm doing a wedding fair in my Eastwell Manor, and do you want to do something? I said, well, I'll do some magic. I put a stand. He said, really? Yeah, I think that will work, magic in wedding. That was a long time ago. And I remember putting the frame in wood and put the poster really crap and post and it's fine. I pick up so much work. It was like unbelievable. So the wedding market went straight up. And now you could see it. No, actually now, but before the magic, you could do any wedding phase, it was a magician now. Now, no, a bit less now because now they only go on the internet. But that went down really well. So the wedding market, I think, was great. It was a good idea at the time because they gave me a lot of inquiries. People was phoning me all the time. And I said, I just went and do some magic and based on corporate field. And like I said, if you do cruise, only do cruise. You know, Jink, my good friend from Margate, only do cruise because when you come back, you got no contact. So nobody phone you. And that's a problem. So it's a downside, it's a good side because you relax, you do maybe two shows a week or something. Money is okay, but I think you make more money by doing corporate and weddings, I guess, you know. And it's a little bit more stressful than traveling around the world and a suitcase and things like that. Some people like it. I didn't really like it to do that all my life. So that's why I decided to stay in England and push for the corporate market. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the first time you came on my radar is when you released the card in wine bottle.
Yeah.
Because you, as well as doing all of this magic that you've just described to us, you're also entering and doing really well in competitions.
Yeah, mix with two about that. And I'll tell you why I did that, but carry on.
Yeah, no, my question was, how important was that with your, because obviously you're now super successful as a magician. Everybody wants Etienne at their events. Entering those competitions, was that a stepping stone?
I think it's a mix of two things. And I think it's a mix of, as a magician, I think it's a personal thing to do something good. Now, I'm going to tell you something and people probably not going to believe me. I never, ever liked any show I did on competition. Maybe I'm really autocritic and things like that, but I think I only done once. I think it was kind of good, you know. But most of the show I done, I always thought it wasn't really good. But it was good enough to get publicity, to be known at the time. And I think that's, again, if you're a young magician, do competition, go and throw yourself and just challenge you to do something better and better and better and then prove it. So I think, and also what I wanted, I quickly understand when having trophy and I got a lot of magic circle, all that, it's because you could use that for marketing purposes. I don't think it was for my ego, winning things. Only when I won a third place in FISM, I was really pleased and proud because it's a third place in a world championship and the Magician of the Year for Magic Circle. That was great. But it wasn't really for my ego. It was, for me, it was more for commercial purposes to be projecting things. Oh yeah, I want this, I want that. For corporate people or people who booked you, they take it for granted. You won prizes, you must be better than another one. It's a slightly sad to say, but it's a good marketing tools to have, right? So more you do things, more you get prizes, you could get a little bit more access on your credibility when you perform, you know, for people who book you. And it's the same for magician of a logo. You know, I'm a member of a magic circle with Gold Star, and also that you could play with that. For me, it's great. Don't get me wrong, I'm honored to be that. But I'm not like having a big head about it. I'm not like, hey, I'm checking out. Look, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not like that. I use it to get credibility for people. So when I book you, say, oh, this guy must be good. Magician of the Year, and you got all that. So it's good on that way. But most of the competition, I done it for fun. I mean, I give you an example. When I went to FISM, the third best championship, I practiced my act 2-3 weeks before the competition in a tent. When I was in Holland. So I went to Holland with my family, we have a tent, I practiced the show, and I said, oh my God, what am I going to do? I knew I'm going to do a signed card in bottle, but the rest, I had no idea. So I put the things there. I go to a competition, I was showing the bottle to David Redfern and some of the guys downstairs. Marvin Magic was there on my table. I always remember that. And I said, I'm going to do this trick. I've got this bottle like that. And he said, oh, really? And said, when is it? I said, I don't know, sometime. And I heard my name, Etienne Pradier, being called already in half an hour. I said, oh, shit, it's me. You see, that's the way I am. I'm not really dedicated on practicing and timing. So I'm a little bit, I've always been like that. So I jumped, I put everything in my suitcase. I run in my suitcase. It was on the wheel. And I forgot to zip it up. So when I went on step, they dropped. My gimmick bottle, I spent a year to practice with it, broke in half. I got half an hour to go up. So I jump in the kitchen. I say, mate, give me two bottles. Yeah. And they give me two bottles. I take the stickers off. I modify. And if you look at the tape, you could see it's not perfect, but it's fine. I put the two bottles on my knob. I say, yeah, what is it? Where's the show? I put the bottle ready. And the guy say, what the fuck did you do that, man? He said, I don't get, I had to improvise very quickly. And you could see, I don't know if you ever seen that show, it was really relaxed. And when I started to do the matrix with thumb tips and things like that, I think for me is to shock people and to shock magician is to go outside the box. So for me, I'm not the most skillful person on earth. So I think I use in my carries and my, the way I see the thing to do is to try to push a barrier. So by doing a matrix with thumb tips, I knew I'm going to shock people. So when magicians saw me doing four thumb tips on the table and start moving from thumb tips to another, they thought, what the hell's going on? I mean, the guy dared to do that on a world championship. But the key is I knew I'm going to do a good trick in the end. And the good trick was you sign the card both sides and that card will be still inside a bottle, a wine. So I knew it's going to be something very strong. So you could allow yourself to do something a little bit more on the edge. You know what I mean?
I do. And one of the things I love about watching you perform, especially in front of magicians, is you don't take yourself too seriously. There's so many performers, especially in competitions, that are just completely...
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
The funniest thing that I've ever seen, and I'm sure it's you, it is you, funniest thing I've ever seen is when you came out and you went to do Splash Bottle.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. And you put it on the floor, you stamped it, and then you bring the bottle up. I almost died laughing. I remember rewinding that about 40 times and my wife walked in and my eyes were streaming. I was like, I've just seen the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
A lot of people mentioned that to me. I think that's the first time I did it is at the World Championship. That's the first thing I did. And the reason I did that, and I think as a magician and when you do competition, you have to look around. And and he said, David Stone, famous for the things. So if you could do something or you lead them somewhere and you do something totally different, you know you're going to create a reaction because you not expected that. And also the fact I said, did he just do that? You can't do that. You know, so that's I like this idea of, oh, really? Oh man, that was funny. So I thought this idea of that was quite funny and it worked really well because people were totally surprised. But they connect because you fool them because they know they're thinking you're going to do Splash Bottle. So that's a really fooler for the mind, not for the trick, because you know you pick up a bottle. But it's a concept of you fool with a joke, but not expected. They don't expect that at all. So that was a different, you know. So I really like this sort of gag like that, you know.
Yeah.
You always have to look for something is famous or anything, and you just twist it a bit, you know, for magician. But and this, like basically, this trick doesn't really work for public. I've done it for public show, but they find it not really funny because they don't know Flash Bottle. Yeah. You know, they have no idea. So it's really a magician fuller, but you know what I mean, to get the guy full on, you know.
Mm. Well, here's a question. You, obviously, when you were doing Card in Bottle, nobody had ever heard of that before. And it was legendary. I remember people saying to me, have you seen this Card in Bottle? It's a signed card that goes in the bottle. This is incredible. Like, you were fooling everybody with this. What made you decide to eventually put that on DVD and teach it to everyone? Because this is a routine that you were known for that nobody else did and nobody else even could figure out how it was done. And then you kind of just said to everybody, right, okay, now I'm going to teach it.
I know what you mean, but I think I like giving. I'm a giver, you know, because for me, if you do magic as a professional, you could keep a secret or whatever, but I'm not this sort of guy. I much prefer sharing to people who have the same passion as me and want to learn it. and I don't mind. That's why, I mean, if you ever seen my lecture, I give tons and tons and tons of things, because for me, it's not to do four tricks during a session. This is not me. It's really related to my magic. It's like a bulldozer. I just bang, 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 effect after effect. And that's what I try to teach during my lecture, is your effect after effect, effect, effect. So you, for me, the idea is you take someone on the train, you go on their train, you go up and down, they follow you, but they never come out of the train. So that's my philosophy. So teaching the bottle trick wasn't a big issue for me. I thought, and I explained, I said, this is a great trick to do just one in the end of the night to someone special or something like that. Don't start to do to every table. It doesn't make sense. It have to be really special. And teaching, it wasn't a big issue. I liked it to put it on a DVD. The DVD sold a lot and I was really happy with it. And I'm fine with it. You know, I'm not really the guy who wants to keep a secret, and I'm not really like that. I've never been like that, you know, so.
That's awesome. Now, I want to talk about some of the stuff you've created, but before we get onto that, going back to your career as a performer, you've got to a point now where you're super successful. You've really built a career for yourself. You're massively in demand. And then you decide to set up an entertainment agency.
Yeah.
Butterfly Tricks Agency.
Butterfly Trick Agency, yeah.
So two questions on that. Number one, what made you decide to go down the route of setting up an agency? And two, for a lot of magicians that come into magic, the holy grail is to get represented by an agency. You know, because a lot of magicians struggle with marketing, they struggle with self-promotion, and they think, well, if I can get into the right agency, I'm made. I won't have to worry. I just get the phone rings up all the time. I accept the gigs, go and do them. So question is, why did you set up the agency? And is that right in terms of what can people do?
Yeah. Speaking
from an agent's point of view, how would somebody get onto your radar?
I think to respond to the question, to be thinking the agency will make you, I don't believe on that. I think they will, unless you have some people, I know some people work only through agency, or it's fine. I don't think it's a key. The key is you promote yourself. You get through the contact direct to the clients, so you could hold to the clients and promote a little bit more through them. And I think agency is a bit lazy because you just wait for the agency to call you. So you don't do any proactive things. You're not proacting. You don't do anything else than just waiting. Oh, yeah, I could do that. Can't really negotiate the fee because the fees would be a set fee for the agency. Mine was, when I started my agency, was obviously the obvious thing to do. I had like inquiries after inquiries a day. It was crazy because I'm a very strong believer, and it always works. More you work, more you generated work. Right? As simple as that. So I was doing like 20, 30 parties a month, sometimes crazy. So all day long, I had inquiry. As much inquiry as it was crazy. Like today, I got none, absolutely zero inquiry, you know. But at the time, I used to open my computer inquiry. So obviously, it's obvious I'm not going to do all of them. So I'm booked, but I could recommend you someone. Who am I going to recommend? I find few people I could recommend, and the agency take a small commission. You put that on the agency, and that work like that. So that worked really well. I mean, at one point, I was making a lot of money through the agency. The problem now, the agency, and I'll be totally honest, people don't really go through agency. They will go through my recommendation, say, I can't do it. I'm going to recommend my good friend. He will do a great job for you. That work. But yeah, I got someone from agency. They're going to the internet and Google some names, and you got tons of magicians ready for the half a price you do. They will probably go for them and things like that. So the agency doesn't work as well as it used to be, you know. The recommendation for myself, that's good for them because they said, oh, Etienne said he's good, we'll book him, we trust you, that's fine. So it's really personal things. As the agency before used to deal with band and disco and silhouette cutter and jugglers and all sorts of things, you know, caricaturists, we used to sell tons of things, you know. I've done some big gig, we still do some big gig with 10 magicians, 12 magicians, 15 magicians. That will still happen, and I will have to use my agency to provide all that. So that's all right. But agency, I don't think is a key. You put your name forwards to your agency, and you will pick up something, but work on your own. Just get proactive, contact company, make some videos, do some business card when you perform, give a lot of business card, call me, do a deal, phone people up, and that's proactive, and you get more by doing something yourself rather than just doing to all the agency and wait. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's really, really, really good advice. Have you got any other advice for somebody who's just, let's just assume that at some point down the line, the apocalypse is going to end and we're going to go back to being able to gig live and in person, which I know that you believe because you're like me, a positive guy. Yeah. Have you got any advice for newer magicians? Because a lot of the people on this channel are new.
Yeah, and that's a question will come, how do I start magic and things like that? I mean, the way I started and like probably a lot of people started is magic in a bar, in a restaurant, I guess. You know, you go there, you tell people, oh, I want to do a bit of magic. I'm not going to charge you. And you do a very good job, people laughing. And now that's where you go back to the manager, wait for him to say, oh, can you do that next week? Well, I could do it, but I probably have to charge you. That's the obvious thing. That's the obvious route to do. Really simple. You hook them, do it for free. Because if you say, oh, I want to do it, I'll do your magic in your restaurant, it costs you £200. Get off, man. You know, I'm not going to book you because he doesn't know what you're going to give him, what you're going to bring to him. So you need to do something for free. Just expose yourself like a restaurant, corporate party, maybe propose your services. Charity is very good. Charity, if you got a lot of celebrity there, go there and say, look, I'm happy to do. I love your charity. I want to give my time by performing magic for you. Oh, really? Yeah. I'll do some table work. I'm not charging you. Of course, it's just for the charity. Now you give a lot of cards. Cards is very important. Have a good website, clean. Do some good magic. People remember your magic, but remember you rather than your magic. I think it's more important to remember you. The key is, and I always say to people, I said, if people said when they go back from seeing you, they say to their friend, this guy was really funny. This guy was fun. And he's, man, you have to have this guy to your party. This is, it will make everybody laugh. You're going to have a great time. They're not going to say, you should buy this guy. He's done like a four card tricks and he's done this and that. How are you going to say, if they will say, this guy talk about all through the table. My kids, of course, they'll talk like that. They'll talk of point of really strong trick they saw during the evening. But I think they will sell you because you're a nice guy. They said, get this guy. I want that guy in my party, man. Oh, man, oh, so cool. He's going to make my friends laugh. And that's where you get the business. So sell yourself. Now, a really nice tips I do, and I see a lot of magicians don't do, when you talk to someone after your show, especially after your show, a lot of magicians keep in character, you know? So they're going to go, yeah, I've done this, and they pump the ego. Yeah, I'm a member of Magic Circle, I do all these things, and that. They carry on pushing their ego until the guy gets, good. And that, I think people get fed up of that. If you could sweep the conversation, and I always say to people, ask the guy some question. Have a two-way conversation. So when people ask me, because I know an interesting thing to say, oh, when did you start magic? Do you know Magic Circle? Oh yeah, Magic Circle. Actually, I'm a member of Magic Circle with Gold Star and blah, 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 blah. And you go and you run. And I don't think that's so good because it's one-way conversation. If you have two-way conversation, it's different. So my tips is when I talk to someone, I say, hey, what about you? What do you do? Oh, you're a teacher. Oh, I love teaching. What do you teach? You know what? So they think, oh, this guy is interesting on me. What I do? Oh, nice guy. You know, I do it naturally because I'm interesting to talk to people, you know, but if you're not, push yourself to do it. Just ask the guy a question and be positive, as much positive. Oh, I love that. My cousin does teaching. Oh, it's great. Do you have like problem with kids? And the guy feel really engaged. And he will remember that. He will remember because you have conversation with him in two ways, not in one way. Because if you do one way, the guy said, oh, he was a great man, a bit pompous, you know, he was a bit pretentious, always talk about himself. And that's it. Well, it's okay, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's very important that you have a good personal conversation about everything. And in the end, they will remember that. So that's a little tips to you.
That is excellent. Now, you mentioned earlier on Zoom shows, yeah, and that there's certain things that people are doing on Zoom that frustrate you.
Yeah.
I know that you've been doing a lot on Zoom, and in a minute I want to talk about a show that you've got coming up.
Yeah.
Because I know that you've been doing regular shows both in France and in the UK, and you've really been taking advantage of the situation. Have you got any advice? Because a lot of magicians, we talked about this off screen, didn't we? We said a lot of magicians have just not done anything, and they're hoping that things are going to...
Exactly. I mean, this is a point, and as well, I admire you, Greg, because you're exactly the same, I think, the same mentality as me. You don't wait. And for me, I mean, how many friends magicians have phoned them up? Where have you been? Oh, nothing, just wait, nothing happened. Man, I'm fed up. You got that all the time. You, me, and I, it's not only us, but a lot of people who just jump on the thing, because you have to understand. And you said to you, like you said something early on before the show, you said, okay, it's not going to happen in last year. Close-up magic is going to be dead for, I think, 2 years at the time. Stage magic, maybe a little bit, we get away with doing few things. So what can I do? So I'll be honest, I was thinking about some of the things, and I didn't jump on the wagon straight away to start to do Zoom, because I got another things. I wanted to go back in fashion for one reason, because I love fashion. So I started to do a lot of fashion thing, I design things, and I did some masks, and I sold over 1,000 masks and survival, and done really well down that road. And I was really enjoying during that period to do some fashion. But I was thinking, if I want to do magic, I need to find some other things to do. And I thought Zoom, and be honest, Zoom, I thought, Zoom, moi on Zoom is going to be crap. I'm not really the guy who's going to be on the front of the TV and things like that. So I did one, and the first one I did was like, what the hell is that? I'm never going to do that. But very quickly, literally probably overnight, I said, I can't do that. This is a bad mentality to knock something where it could be a potential to make money. So I started to open an office like that. I changed all my office to be a studio, put on some light, and I said, I'm going to have a go at it and try to understand what Zoom is about. And I think it's very important, Zoom. Now, I saw a lot of magicians, they're on the things, and I'm not going to tell you who he is, but I saw quite a few. They're here, and say, I'll show you tricks. And they start to do sleight of hand with their fingers like that, and they start to do sleight of hand, really complicated sleight of hand. But then you could see the reaction of people go, oh, that was great. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, whoa. Oh, that's very good. Yeah, oh, wow. You know, it's like he's doing magic to impress them, being on the other side of the screen with no connection whatsoever. Oh, this is a great trick. I'm going to show you with a ring and watch, with a smoke or something like that. And people go, wow. I mean, for me, it makes no sense whatsoever. And I learned so quick, honestly, Greg, I know. I knew one thing, communication on screen. It's really important. This is the key. That's the way you can sell it. And I said, where is it? Oh, gallery. You could talk to people. Man, that's it. I'm on. I'm going to, because the other guy was doing on his own. He could see himself as big, couldn't see anybody. He was doing all his tricks for himself. I changed straight away. And I tell my client, I said, I'm doing gallery because I want to see everybody. I can't hear them laughing, but in my head, I know they're laughing, they're clapping. So I make them putting their hand together. I say, clap, you can see that. And I talk, I say, Sophie, put your mic on. Hey, Sophie, hey, hi. And I do the banter because I'm used to do this thing. And I think I was good. I'm still good on banter and talking shit, basically, but to get reaction. So I'm taking reaction to her. I'm saying, oh, David, hey, David, look at Sophie. Let's do it. And you start to connect everybody very quickly. And that suddenly, I thought, that's it. That's the key. The key is to connect to people and see the people who book you, see everybody's get connected. Suddenly they start talking to me, they go there, they're laughing, you talk to them. And that's the key. And as soon as I knew that, I do Zoom. I said, I'm doing Zoom, and I connect, and I find like, and I, so the tricks I do, a lot of different tricks. One of the good tricks I do, and I was talking to a friend yesterday, David Jar, my good friend, about it, is the idea of a do a tricks of mind reading mixing with classical magic. So I do a tricks with you think about a word in a book, and you take a word in your book at home, and you get somebody to think about. So it's two or three people connected. And in the end, they say, what was your word? Actually, and you just press, and you got a bottle inside, is a sealed bottle, and you turn it, you got the card floating, and it's got the word actually, right, inside. It's a killer tricks, because the people have no idea how did they get the word, but they got the word inside the bottle, sealed inside. So it's basically taking my old tricks I used to do as a performer on Zoom using mind reading, because mind reading is better to do it, because that's the kind of things you could do, but make it fun and making a wow factor, because suddenly they go, that was the word, what the fuck is inside the bottle? You know, it's like two things together. So it's much better than said, and your word is actually, thank you. Right. Okay. Thank you. Now, next week, you know, it's like, well, you found my word. Okay. Good. Right. Not only this is different, you found my word is inside the bottle. It's totally different. It's like, how the fuck did he do that? You know, it's like, it's a different way to do it. Right. So I learned that really quickly. So I do that. Of course, you have someone to help you. You know, you do all these people. You got to see me your hand going, if you don't touch it, just give me the bottle, you know. So it's a lot of things you can do on Zoom. I do some good. I use my barking dog as well. I use that. That's a great trick. I do that. I do the pen. That's a great thing. I do that. But it's Zoom is a great thing. The problem with Zoom is the technology. You have to have a proper technology. And it's to connect with all the link. You know, that was a problem in the beginning because I'm, you know, I'm not really an organized person. So I had to have a list of link and then to click like that. Okay, next one. And sometimes I was doing like 8 shows a day. And it was a lot, half an hour show. So from one show to another, you go click on it. Okay, bye. You know, and I, bye, bye, up. Hey, I mean, you know, it's like, what the hell, man? You go, so at one point I had a show or I put my camera off, but put my sound. I say, guys, I'm here 2 minutes, and I was putting things in my phone tip, reorganizing my cards, and they couldn't see it because my show just finished, and I had a show just back to back. But you got 1 minute to set up. So I'm here like that, resetting the thing. Yes, I'm here. Guys, I'm just set up something. Don't worry. Hi, guys. Hey, good time, right? And you just move on to the show. And after that, I decided to have at least 10 minutes between shows, you know. Because I was like a nightmare. It was crazy, man. That's some good anecdote on that. But another one very quickly, Greg, I think it's worth to tell. I received a call at 4:30 in the morning. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the agent said, are you ready for your show again today? I said, yeah, no problem. I look at the, I said, 4 o'clock in the morning. The guy is a bit, called me for my show in the afternoon. So I said, no problem. So he said, okay, I'll see you in 15 minutes, right? I said, yeah. And now I realize he booked me about a month ago and I didn't put it on my calendar. It was a show at 4:30 in the morning for some American company. I go, wow, okay. And now it's like 4:10. My staff are in this office. I take my car. I live about 500 meters from here. I drop, taking my car, run to my office, take everything in the case, run back to my house, put the coffee on, one fag, put the things, the light and everything, put the things. Finish my fag, have my coffee, put everything in foam tips, and I went, hey, you guys okay? I'm here. Well, it's early morning, but hey. And then they went, wow, wow. And this is, Greg, this is the best show I've done for all Christmas because I was like searching adrenaline and so conscious I'm going to fuck it up. I was like, man, like the joke was going, and the guy in the end said, oh, that was great, man. I mean, like, that was really early, but you was great. Best show you ever done. I said, yeah. Thank you. Boom. I slipped. That's crazy. So if you could do this thing, it's like mental, but it's great. I love it now, but man, you know, it's not things I want to do all my life, I guess, but it will be there for another 6 months. For like you say, coming back on your first question, do Zoom at the moment because that's all it's going to be for about at least 6 months, and it will carry on later on the off chance you will pick up some Zoom. Oh, can you do a Zoom? Yeah, I'll do this show. I come back. And so it would be potential to pick up extra money by staying in your office and do a good Zoom because it will stay there for years, you know, I think. So.
And you are doing ticketed events as well, aren't you? Which a lot of people aren't doing, but you're putting on shows with artists and...
So that was the other show I was doing. I decided to put some show with friends. So originally I put in November... I put Paul Martin and quite a few friends, and we put a poster with 5 magicians, one a secret guest or an evening mystery guest. And I used to sell tickets for this show, so people pay £10 and go in and that. So now I got a free show, 5 shows coming up. So next week, let me quickly talk about the show. It's going to be my friend George King, who is one of the most talented young magician who live in Dover from me, and he used to come to my office all the time. I used to be his teacher 3-4 years back, but now he's become a friend and we work together a lot. He's a great guy, technically brilliant, absolutely superb, and mentality great because he learned from me when the personality and be nice with people is come first rather than be arrogant and pretentious. So he learned that and he's spot on that. He's absolutely superb guy, so people like him. So that's one guy. You got Nicolas Clément, who is another French guy who used to live here, great mind reader, does some very good things. And you got Magic Sync. Everybody know Magic Sync with 2 million followers on YouTube.
He's smashing TikTok, isn't he? He's the guy that...
he's got a lot of potential people who follow him. Great guy, love him. That's some great magic, you know. So absolutely. So I asked him to come because I'm a good friend of his and I thought it'd be great access to have him in there. So he's going to be, so we're doing this show on the 10th of February. It's only £10. You go to the website, it's a website, secure website, you click on it and you receive a poster, you click, you get your ticket download, you get all the information. It's very secure. You pay by PayPal or credit card, it's all done. The following day, I'm doing a same sort of things. This is a Spanish show with four artists, Giselle, Luis, and Joaquim, and myself. So we're doing, this is all totally in Spanish. So it's going to be like 1 hour, 15 minutes a show. So same principle, you buy the ticket, things like that. But the great thing I'm doing at the moment, we decided, I put this thing together, is the French show. The French show, it was, for me, was saying, well, when I'm going to do a show in French, right? I'm not known in France at all. Nobody kind of know me, except magician-wise, because I do a lot of lectures. So that's fine. So I said, it'd be nice to do a show with the public. So I started to contact my good friend, Eric Leblon, who is very, very good magician, absolutely brilliant technically. And he's a guy, he's called Antonio, the magician who won France Got Talent equivalent, you know, so he won that. So he's very popular. Before the confinement, done millions of shows on TV. And Danny Larry is a big mega star in France, done 25 years on TV, done all the celebrities, is always on TV. So I found these three guys. I said, you want to do a Zoom show with me? Yeah, we'll do a Zoom show with you. So we put a lovely poster, we're going to do for 3 days, advertising like mad, and we're hoping to get a lot of people. So I think to create this sort of thing, I don't think it's huge money at the moment, but two things happen. You have fun with your friends, you have people have fun with you, and also what I said to them is really important is you're always on the public eyes. People saw you on Facebook, oh man, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's busy. Even if we're not really busy, we're busy we look like we're busy because we're doing things. And it's to be proactive and to do things for people that said, oh yeah, the names carry on scene. If you take you away from a social media and you don't do anything, people kind of forget you. And in the end, when we'll be, you know, and we found out who's left in a business. Oh, Etienne is carry on. I saw him like all years been doing things. Let's phone him up. If they don't see the people they use, they say, hey, it probably is finished. It's not, I'm not sure it's working, but Etienne work because I saw him all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People see that. You always need to do something to get the ball rolling all the time. Keep in touch with people. They make sure they know you're doing something. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely brilliant advice. And I, as you know, I've bought a ticket for the Wednesday show. I know it's going to be brilliant. I'm super excited. Me and Ryland are just ready. So this is going to be brilliant.
It's going to be a fun show. It's going to be a fun show.
I'm really excited. He's a big fan of Magic Sing. He's seen a lot of his stuff. So yeah, I think he's going to be really excited about that. Now, I want to start talking about one aspect of your career that we've not touched on at all, or barely touched on it, which is creativity and creating and marketing tricks, because throughout the years you've written books, you've produced DVDs, you've created tricks, some real working stuff. And we talked about the bottle, the carding bottle, which I think might have been one of the very first projects that you released to the magic community.
I think so, yeah. Probably Barking Dog before that.
Yeah. Well, what made you decide to go in? I mean, without being funny, you are a super successful magician. You get more work than you can handle. You get so much work that you actually created your own agency. And yet you also create and release magic tricks. Mm. What made you go down that route?
I think it's a bit of it's hard to say. I mean, I don't produce a huge amount like a David Stone or other people, Chatelain from France, other people. But what I produce is something I could use, right? I mean, that just
can you show us the Barking Dog? Can you perform that for us? Because we've talked about it an awful lot, and as you know, it's in my show. I want to for those that haven't seen it, this is amazing.
I'll give you two things. So you have this this card inside the clip. That's exposed on the table. It could be anywhere. One card is selected. you could have a, I don't know, this one, two of diamonds, guy is selected, sign, right? So you have a card sign, card is lost inside the pack. So it's all basic, right? Mm-hmm. And that's all you have to do. And the card will come from here to here, and you open it up and you sign, right? So that's the basic of a trick. And as for people who don't know the trick, so it is this system, right? So the only thing you have to do is a Mercury fold. And that's for people who don't know Mercury fold very quickly. You push, you Mercury fold the cards, right? And as soon as you get the cards here, if a card is set like that, right? So you're here and you take it, yeah?
Beautiful. Okay.
Now, just very quickly, is another way you could do it, and I do that on Zoom a lot, is you start with that, like that. So you get another one and you start like that. And now you tell the people, I'm going to write something here. I'm going to write a prediction, you know, or something like that. Or you could take a card and fold it. But the thing is nice is you show that card, you close it. And when you're going to push inside, you push it inside, but you take the other one out. Right? Okay. And this one, you just drop it because you go a lap or whatever you want, or by taking something here because you're using the screen. Hey, I can use that. Yeah. Oh, I put the pen back and you drop everything. So that's the use of a lap of that is brilliant. And now you got your gimmick here, right? So when you do that, or somebody give it to you underneath like that, you take it, it's really clean and you got the prediction, right?
That's great.
It's a very good use for Zoom. I use it all the time with that. So that's Barking Dog. This is on the website. If you do the link, this is what it looks like, yeah? So you got the gimmick, you got everything, you got a download, explanation. So I think that's a good trick. Some people have it one thing that I want to show you because I think it's very clever. One guy showed it to me in Paris, and there's a young guy after my lecture. I said, I'll do your Barking Dog. I said, oh yeah, really, but I'll do it that way. And I said, whoa. And it blew me away because the way he does it, he asks somebody with a bit of string to put the string. So he asked somebody to put that. So this guy had that hanging around like that, right? With a gimmick. He gets the things and he has the guy to put his hand like that. But he's got the signed card here. So he does exactly that, the guy does that. So imagine a picture, we both like that, everybody around us see us like that, totally empty hand. The guy is like that and he's got the thing hanging here. And you got it. And now what you do, you turn your hand over, you take the clip and imagine his hand and you open it and you drop it, you leave it hanging and that drop in his hand. So that's, it's dropped like that. And the guy said, oh, hey, he opened it up, it's a signed card. It's crazy. And you take the things back and the thing is, nobody check it. No one. People said, are you wearing? I said, no, this is a card. The card was here. You took it off. Well, it's not going to be inside. It's here. All right. Okay. Fair enough.
I use it with one red back card and a blue back deck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And they sign what they think is a blue card. It's really a red card. Yeah. And they've been, this has been on display the whole time. And eventually the red back card is their card, which is really, yeah, you know, mind-boggling way of doing,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's very good. You could do a double sign it and all that, yeah?
Yeah.
It's another one, a German guy does it like that. He got the gimmick, and I think it's very clever. He's got that on a string in a big jar, right? And he come, because when he opened the lid, when he come with the gimmick, he come like that, he said, oh, let's make sure that doesn't hang around like that, and you recap. And now he said to the guy, can you take it? And the guy take it himself, yeah? And you look, and it's a signed card. Because he put it, it does the reverse as I do, by neutralizing the things, he go underneath like that, and he push the other one. So yeah, I'll leave it like that. Yeah. Done. Thank you. So it's a lot of way to do it. It's a very clever way. My friend Eric Leblanc had some crazy stuff. This movie used to come here, and you just come like that. Invisible. It's absolutely invisible. So there's a lot of way you could do a lot of things with that. So that's Barking Dog, it's great. It's on the website, I sell all these products. So how did I come with that? It was from Bob Austin originally, long, long time ago. He made something slightly different. I think it was a pivot. Now for what's going to be better to do with all the bands, because you could change all the band, all that. And I sold tons of them because you could have it on your click, you could have it here, a friend of mine does it with a bit of a yellow paper, right? He's have it here like that on the clip, and he rail knighting with his thumb in his side pocket. And never work. A cow you write cow, it's already pre-folded. You go, hey, say, well, I write cow. You know, so it's 100% for mind reader is a crazy stuff. You could do all sort of things. So you could have a bill as well. You could have a £10 bill, you know. You put a £10 like that, and you take a 10, 20 pound change to 10. Where is it? Oh, it's there. Change with a signed name on it. Like crazy. A lot of things you could do. I'm making version 2. I haven't done it. I haven't put my head on a version 2. Is crazy. You get a £20 here, right? So no, sorry, you put a £10 here. So you see a £10. And you take a £20 for someone, you change it, you change your £10, and you do that, you shake it, this one changed to a £10. And now you take it, it's a signed £10. It's a very clever way. I made the gimmick, I got the gimmick, but I haven't commercialized it yet. But it's very clean, the things change from one end to another, like boom, literally change like a flash. You can't see change. So it's the same principle with two lay and things like that. So that worked very well. Mm. So that was I made that up somehow, and I very quickly manufacturing it, and I thought well, I'm going to sell it to magician, and that worked really well. So people start buying it, you know. And after that, I made a few books. The other book is finished, but this is this is all my DVDs been on download. You know, if you go on my website,
it's amazing DVD.
Yeah, it's all double DVD. DVD don't sell anymore, but on download you could get all the things. The contents is crazy. You got Bill Switch, you got the carton bottle, you got the bottle fruit table, broken glass, all that. Some pocket management, wedding test. So you got a lot of stuff. A lot of people liked it because it's a lot of commercial stuff. So that's a very funny one. The most funny DVD I ever made, Bloody Dog. Have you never seen that?
That one I've never seen. No.
Oh, I'll send you one. This is with Gary John. So basically, this is, I think for me, the reason I love England is a sense of humor. I love English sense of humor is crazy. And I learned that for years. I absolutely love it. And Gary John is an example of that. Absolutely dry sense of humor, crazy. And we made a DVD, basically, it's 10 effects who don't work, right? So it's 10 effects who don't work. And we're going to explain the shit exactly step by step why it don't work and what you have to do to make sure it doesn't work, right? So one of the quotes is, if you buy this DVD this year, it shouldn't be this one, Paul Martin. Guaranteed 100% shit. 10 routine will never work for you. And it's David Penn did a reference, David Stone. So it's a crazy. I mean, this is, we did the explanation with Gary John inside a pub. Art piece, man. And literally you piece yourself. I'll send you a copy of that. Also, you could buy it on download. So that's crazy, that. And so I got about this one was the late one I done. Houdini is great because he's live in Houdini in Ramsgate, Borstedt actually. And you got all different things. So that's, by the way, I'm going to give one of them for you, one of you guys, so as a gift.
So yeah, so we talked about how you are going to give a DVD and a ticket to the show on Wednesday, right? Away to somebody who's watching this video.
You will pick the winner. So one free DVD, I'll send it personally with a signed card, so we could have a signed card as well.
And a ticket to the show. And yeah. What's the question? They've got to answer a question and put the question here. Put the answer in the comments below.
They said, what job was I was doing before I did before I did magic? Let rephrase that. The question is, what did I do as a job before I did magic? Okay.
Absolutely. And if you put it in the comments on Monday, because this is going out on Saturday the 6th. So on Monday, I will, which would be the, no, Tuesday. On Tuesday, which would be the 9th, I'll announce the winner on the YouTube channel. And then we'll get the ticket over to you for the show, which is Wednesday night at 8 o'clock British time. And Etienne can send you the DVD. That's great. Could you talk very quickly about the pen, because that's one of my favorite things that you've ever done. Pen,
I'll show that, but before, very quickly, the book as well, because I'm going to do a deal for you. So this is a hard copy book, great routine inside, Pablo Aces, all that. So it's inside there. Have a look on it's a little bit more description on the website. It's called Think of a Tart, yeah? And like I said, for you guys, if you're interested, the books and that will be £20, and I'll pay the expenses, so. It's about £3-4 for the sendings, but for £20, you get these two things together, right? Just for you for about maybe 3 days after the show, I will stop the promotion. Yeah. So that's that. And the other product, you could look at it. This is all there. This is a new button up. You could. This is a great trick. You've got the cards appearing inside a button, and you have to tear it. That's a new thing. That now, this is, I think, my famous invention. I loved it so much because I realized I used to do a lot of tricks when, the friction pen, right? So you used to have a card like that, and you used to do originally the trick where you go three, right? In a normal ink, and you get a friction pen, and you go eight, right? And if you burn it, it becomes a three again. Yeah. So that's great, but it's nothing much you could do than just preparing the paper. So on this one, the reason it worked very well, and I'll explain to you, and I need a lighter, give me a second. Right, I need it up. So this is in two ink in one pen, right? So the first ink, yeah, I double check. Okay. So the first thing, the red one is a friction, and this one is a normal ink. So imagine that. Imagine you have a pack of cards, and you say to the guy, shuffle the pack of cards, he shuffle it, and you said, it's very shuffled, I take the pack of cards, say stop any way you want, and now you do that move. You leave your pinky here, and you give a pack back. But by giving the pack back, you pick up the card at the pinky, so it's a king of clubs. So now you know he's a king of clubs, you could ask him to shuffle. Now you got an advantage, the card's been shuffled, you know exactly which card it is. And with a normal ink, you're going to write king of clubs, right?
Can you get something there? Yep.
Is it clear? And really relaxing, you just do that. That's all you need to do. You change the ink. And now you're going to overwrite. So you could go like that. And I said, that's my prediction. And the guy said, well, what did you write? I said, what was your card? The four clubs. Yeah. And you go here. You say, this is in Chinese. But now look, you just have to put the lighter. And it changed to four clubs, right?
That's brilliant.
So what is nice is suddenly you got a thing. So you could have that, or you could have I used to do it with that. Well, I think it's brilliant. So sometimes, but imagine on a book test. On the book test is even crazy because on the things like that, you know the letter. So let's say it is certain, yeah. Okay, you put certain. I'm writing because I got all the words on the piece of, on the way. You change it, right? You overwrite it, yeah. So you could make all sort of gag like that, right? So that's what they see, right? They see that. And you take a bit of flash paper. It's a very old flash paper, but look, the idea is quite nice. So they see that, right? They see that. But when you do that, you got the word appear from nowhere.
Oh, that's lovely.
So you got two effects. And it's why I said to you in the beginning, I'm a very strong believer, all mind reading effects should be done with a little bit of some humor. I mean, so don't get me wrong. Some people do very well with being very serious, but that's not my style. But make it a little bit more exciting, the reveal, and just don't do. Is that your word? Thank you. What does he show? Oh yeah, very clever. Found my word. Very good. Yeah. Why don't you find the lottery number? You know. But if you did with humor and something will go wow, because when the word appear from nowhere by thinking it was joking, he can't find a word. He write it in Chinese or whatever in Arabic, and suddenly the word appeared. People go wow. How the fuck did he do that? Because the word just appeared. So that's a different concept. You know. So that's a great pen, and like I said, it's I sold a lot because you have it in your pocket. And somebody said, "Hey, do me a trick." A trick? Okay, I'll show a trick. And you said, "This is the impromptu trick I explained on a lot of lectures." You said, "Put four objects: a mouse, a coin, a telephone, and a lighter. Right? Any object. You take the friction pen. Yeah, let me double check. So you take the normal ink, right? And a normal ink." You get to draw maybe four coins like that, right? And you change, right? You put the friction like that. That's a great, I think it's a great idea for things. So great. So you get the prediction. You said, okay, this is my prediction. I leave it here. Choose, and now you force. Magician force. Very simple for magician who started. It's very easy. Choose two objects. If I choose a telephone and that, you say, oh, we're going to remove that. Okay. Now you have a lighter and the coins. You want the coins? Oh, we'll remove that. You want the lighter? You sure? We'll remove it. So basically, we leave you with a coin, and you say to them, this is my prediction, right in the corner. So you go like that. You say, this is what I predicted. So you do that. And that's the coins, thank you. And you leave it on the table. And people said, well, hang on, he must have drawn a telephone here, he must have drawn a mouse and a pen, very easy. And they take the lighter themselves and they do that. And when they do that, they see it's coins, 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 coins.
Yeah. It's amazing. I tell you what I use it for, Etienne. And this has been my go-to trick for years. I take a business card, right? And I give them the pen with the real ink. Yeah. And I get them to sign the center of the business card.
Nice.
And then I take the pen back and I switch to the friction ink and I turn it round and I say, I'm just going to draw some coins on here. And what I do is I draw with friction a coin in each corner.
Yeah.
In one of the corners, I actually draw four coins and I talk about matrix.
Yeah, nice.
Now I put the pen away. And what I do is I use my thumb to hide three of the coins in the corner. So it looks like there's a coin in each corner. I then take the lighter and I go, let me explain about this trick called matrix that magicians do. It's all about making the coins go into one corner. And then I just hold the card and I wave the lighter and three of the coins disappear and they're all in the corner. And then I say, let's see if we can take this one step further. So I show, and it's their signed card still. I then show that there's four coins in the corner. I turn it upside down so they can't see them. I say, I'm going to light them one more time. Let me put the lighter away. And I finger palm four coins. And I say, let me do this. And I do this. I cup their hands together. I do this. And the four coins appear. And when you turn the card over, all the coins are gone. They're left with their signature on the card, four coins in their hand. And I give them the card to keep.
That's really good.
I call it business card matrix. And that's like the trick that I use to give out my business card.
I guess this is good. If you don't mind, I will use it.
Yeah, go for it, man. It's fine.
But look, this is another one that I think you're going to like that. You go, you know, people said, how do you do when people are really cocky on your table and people who just get on your nerve, right? And you go, well, it's a way to do it. It's a way to sort them out. So I do that tricks for them, right? So I do like that, and I do the thing. So I do the prediction here, like that. And that makes people laugh all the time. So I go, yeah, I got this great trick for them. So what I do, I get four objects on the table. One of them is a glass and things like that. And in the end, they choose glass, right?
Yep.
I said, this is a prediction, it's glass. So I said, here you go, my prediction. And you go like that, right? And you go glass, right? Mm-hmm. And you see that on the, so you see the glass like that? So you get that. And so you leave that on the table and you run away because you know the cocky guy is going to be the first one said, this is shit. This is like this is a mouse, this is a plate, this is a knife. All the objects are here, he knew which one he is, he burned it, right? And you let him do that and you let him take the lighter and you let him talk to the people around and say, come on, I'll show you, I'm better than that, a shit magician, I'll show you where. And you go, and when he does it, he burns it like that. And you say the prediction, you go free cock.
I love that. I love that.
It's, and now, this is just a quick point. Never cross the line. But when you could do something like that, when you know, and most of the time I've done it because I actually done it. The guy come and see me and say, give me five. That was absolutely super funny. I was so cool, man. So because he get the joke. English, especially English people, the French will get upset maybe about that. He doesn't get it. The English person will know it was a sense of humor and he was a bit of a laugh and he he's probably the guy who will give you a job, you know, because he was so shocked by that. Funny guy, you know. No crossing your line. But,
have you ever seen Alan Morrison's thing with it, with the glass?
No.
So he takes the pen, right, and on a piece of card, he draws a glass with real ink.
Yeah.
And then he switches to the friction ink and he draws ice cubes in the glass. Then he puts the pen away and steals a thumb tip with water in it. And he loads that behind the glass. So he's got a thumb tip behind the business card. He then lights the lighter and he says, watch the ice in the glass. and the ice melts. And as it does, water just falls behind the card and the ice is melted. But here's the great thing that he came up with. If you put a business card, once the friction ink's gone, if you put it into a freezer, the ink will come back.
You come back, that's right.
He says, look, the ice has melted, but I tell you what we're going to try and do. I'm going to try and make the ice come back. Take this business card, put it in your freezer when you get back tonight and look at it in the morning. And when they look at it in the morning, the ice...
I heard people do it with ice cream. You draw an ice cream, a color ice cream, strawberry and all that, and if you leave it on the... it will come back. So I don't know how does it work, man.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the beautiful thing. And that pen's available on your site as well, right?
Yeah, it's available. I haven't got many, but I got quite a lot because I'm really restocking it. But that's called Cossack pen, right? It come with a, it come like that with a recharge as well and a download. You just check it and go. So I'm not doing a much price on that because I haven't got many, but it's one for you for free, my friend. So I will send it to you. This is the one I'll send it to you. Yeah.
So I think the last question I've got to ask for you, I mean, what's next? I always ask this to everyone I interview, and it's especially important with you. You've had such an amazing career, both as a performer, a creator, a lecturer. What's next? What? Let's just assume that the apocalypse is ending and Zoom shows in the next couple of years will fade out and we can get back to some sort of normality. What's next with regards to you? Are you wanting to, are you going to be putting more products out? Are you going to be doing more lectures? Yeah. Where are we going to be?
I got a few products. Two tricks I'm producing at the moment, I think will work really well on Zoom and on stage, because that was originally for Zoom, but I've done it on stage in December, just before they close everything. And to my surprise, they actually work. And I think it's a very commercial trick. And I got a bit of a deal with Alakazam, so I'm going to do something probably with him to produce it. And the other one is a really big secret. This is going to be a huge trick, but it's done with another company. I don't even mention his name, but that's come up. That's going to be like, every time I show that trick, I didn't show it too many people, but when I see it, and I sold the right to this company to buy it because I thought, I'm not going to produce it. They bought it straight away. They got totally blown away. But it come up, the prototype was nearly finished and we got hit by the corona. So we just have to wait a little bit more to get it perfect and we're going to push it as hard as we can. But it's going to be a very good trick. Really happy this company bought it for me. Except that, try to do some more corporate work, weddings. But I'll be honest, I may just come down a little bit, you know, because I don't want to travel around the world and things like that anymore. So I may carry on to do maybe Zoom like that, lecture online for magicians. That's great. You could go around the world with that, sell the product online, and I want to go back a little bit on different things. But I will be busy, I guess, like you said, in 2023 when everybody's going to want magician and all sort of things, entertainment, we'll probably go back as a boom and I'll be busy again because I like working. I'm a work alcoholic. I love it and I really enjoy it. So probably as well, I'm going to do for a few years, you know, and see what happens.
You know what? It has been a real pleasure talking to you, Etienne. You know how much I respect you. You are amazing. You are so fantastic. And I'm very, very glad that you decided to come over to England all those years ago because, you know, everyone in the magic community benefits from the fact that you're here. So
that's a pleasure, man. I love you, man.
You too, buddy. Now, please remember that if you make sure down below, answer the question, what did Etienne do before he became a magician? When he was in Paris, what did he do before he became a magician? Put the answers down below and we're going to draw this on Tuesday and you will get a ticket. I've already got my ticket, but you are going to get a ticket to see Etienne's show with Magic Sing. It's going to be absolutely amazing. That's on the Wednesday, 8 o'clock GMT. And you'll also get the DVD with the signed card.
Exactly.
However, also go check out Etienne's website because honestly, you produce so much commercial magic. And right now, when magicians can't really perform live, this is the time to learn more commercial material. And the stuff in your books and on your DVD is something that everybody should be doing because it is so commercial.
Good, man. Great. Pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Safe, man.
And you, man, thanks very much for coming on the channel. Guys, I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.